Rabbi said today's daf is daf Ayin Zayin. We're holding the seventh line from the top of the Amud where the Gemara begins, Omar Rava. And as you'll see, all the Gemaras today that we're going to learn, numerous halachas and stories, are all related to the same idea. And what is that? Let's go back to the Mishnah just for a moment to Ayin Vav Amud Beis. As you recall, we started off yesterday the new Mishnah about Elu HaNeharogin. And on the third line, we spoke about two particular cases. Case number one is Kovash Olav L'Toich HaMayim Oy L'Toich HaOr V'Niyoch Alalis Misham. This is a person who is in the water. How did he get in the water? Because he's swimming or he jumped in. Somebody pushed him in. It makes no difference. However, now another person came and he's holding him down under the water and not allowing him to breathe to get out of the water. Or for that matter, to escape the fire. Somebody's holding him back. V'Niyoch Alalis Misham. Umes, he's chayv. He's definitely chayv. This person has killed him. On the other hand, doch for the techamayim, if he pushed him into the water, obviously the pushy, the person that was pushed into the water or into the fire, is not happy. But he can get out. There is a ladder. There are steps. He can get up from the pool or from the water, whatever. He's able to. And he decided, I'm going to stay here to spite that other guy. I'm going to stay here. Umes, he's then potter. Okay, so based on those general rules, we're going to have now a whole series of halachas, and each time we're going to have to try to show either the similarity or the difference, why the halacha is different. So, Amar Rava, Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph, seven lines from the top, Kofsoi Umeiz Barov. He had a normal, regular individual, and somebody comes over to him, and he ties him up with ropes, or he puts him in a cage of some sort, and the person is not able to get out. And there is no food. And he is there for a day or two or three or four or five until unfortunately he passes away from sheer hunger, not having eaten or drunk anything for the last umpteen hours or days. So what's halacha now? Says Rava, the person who did it is potter. Rashi quickly points out, when we say potter, it doesn't mean that this guy deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. What it means is that we do not give him misa bidei bezdin. The Bein Yishlam is going to go and take care of this type of individual. But the obvious question is, how is this different than the case of the swimming pool? When somebody was kovish, he held him down and he couldn't breathe. Here he's holding him down, he's tied him up, and he can't eat. So, manishtana, why over here in our Mishnah is he chayiv? And Rava's case is he potter. So Rashi uses the same refrain, the same answer a number of times. He calls it hoireg mizuman. The only time that you're chayiv is if at the moment that you are causing this person's being in the water or being in the ro'av or whatever it is. If the hoireg mizuman, which means that within no time it's imminent that this person is going to pass away, then you're chayiv. If it's going to drag out over time, then he's potter. It's got to be hoireg mizuman. So let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi is the first of the narrow lines. Kofso yumeis barov. When he went and tied him down, there was no imminent danger that he's going to go and die immediately. No. He's going to live in Mitchum another day, two, three, four. And it's unfortunate that the hunger comes on its own. It's not that I am hitting him with hunger over his head. The hunger is eventually, he's not going to have anything to eat. Eventually, he's going to pass away. And as each day and each hour goes by, it gets stronger and stronger. Each hour. It's not the same thing as meaning holding him down. Or in the case of the fire, it's there on the spot. Give him another 10 seconds underwater and you don't let him come up the air. Keep him in the fire for another 10 seconds. It's going to be all over. Mashenkin, in the case of the person who's kovsoi, and he died barov, after all, from now until the hunger, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe somebody will free him. Maybe it'll be an earthquake. Maybe the person will be somehow able to go and untie himself and get out. It's not that it's a clear-cut case that he's going to die. Somehow or other, he might, in fact, survive. Therefore, says Imara, says Rava, he's pot. V'yamarava, another case. Kovsoi bechama umes, or betzina umes. Then he's chayv. What are we talking about? It was a very hot day, and the person went and tied him up under the blaring, blazing sun. obviously this person would want to go into a shady area. He would want to go into a building to save himself from the sun. However, this person didn't allow him to go in. He tied him up in the sun itself. And when you have the sun there, the person, of course, can get sunstroke and all the rest. And Umeisim Nebuchi passed away. Or Betzina, it was a freezing day, and the person didn't have on a sweater or a coat or anything like that. And again, he tied him up in the Tzina. Umeisim, he died. Then he's Chayv. Again, what's the Svara behind it? Because here the Horig is Mezuman. The sun is here, and the Tzina is here. We don't normally think of a sun or the cold of killing people, but if the person is not properly covered, and there's no way for him to cover himself, he's
exposed.
He's exposed, thank you. Exposed and revealed and all the rest to the sun or to the cold. And they were of the type that can cause a person to die. We're not talking about chama in the middle of the spring when it's, you know, 50, 60 degrees. We're talking about a chama which is definitely, you know, 90 or 95, 100 degrees, where if the person doesn't get out of the sun, it could be very dangerous. And takui mes. Or the tzina, it was below freezing and in Nebuchadnezzar he died. He's there. So in those cases, he's chayv. On the other hand, Soif chama lavoi, soif tzina lavoi. In other words, he did this in advance. He did this, for instance, he tied him up 6 o'clock in the morning. And the blazing sun is only going to be midday when it's really coming down with all of its fury, all of its might. Or soif tzina lavoi. He did this at a time when it was still warm. Very often nowadays, midday, sunish gefährlich. But when it comes 6 o'clock at night, ooh, all of a sudden you feel, wow, it's cold. I should have taken a coat. So soif tzina lavoi. So in all those cases, since it's not the hoireg mezuman often art, rather it's going to happen over time. So in this case, it's similar to the ro'ov case, where it's not definite and it's not going to happen now. It's going to happen sometime in the future. And from now into the future, who knows what might happen. Eliyahu Novi might come and untie the ties that is holding him down in the cham or the tzina. Then he's potter. We'll look at the Rashi. Seif chama lovoi potter. Rashi about 10 lines from the top of here. Seif chama lovoi potter. Kolayma. It's not like the first case, kofsei b'chama. Here we're talking about that when he tied him down, there was no chama in sight. It was at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was not hot at all. It was very pleasant. I know from my weather app, if it's telling the truth, that it's going to be very hot today. And this person will not be able to withstand the intense heat. He's still potter. At the time that he tied him down, there was nothing mezuman. There was no sun in sight. It was even before nets. You couldn't even daven yet. Can you imagine? Anyway, so therefore it's only a grama. Yes, eventually a person died in the ro'ov, or in the chama, or in the tzina, but it didn't happen. Hoirig mezuman, sometime in the future, gramahu, the indina masul bezdin, el shemayim, says Rabbi Yishlam, I'm going to take care of him. Kien the bezdin, kien go and pask in this. It's only a grama. However, don't worry. He's going to get paid his payment. Back to the Gemara. V'yom harava, kof soy lifnei ari. If a person was, he tied down someone, lifnei ari, in front of a lion. Ui. And obviously the lion is going to come and he's going to do his thing. He's potter, lefnei yitushin, in front of different types of insects. We normally think of yitush today as being mosquito. Mm. However, the art scroll translates it as a gnat, G-N-A-T. I can think of other types of dangerous insects. Anyway, then he is chayv. What's the difference between ari and chayv and yitushin? So Rashi says vis-a-vis the ari, it's a dangerous situation. Even if he didn't tie him down, and there are aroyas in the vicinity, the ari doesn't need a lot of incentive. He'll smell, he'll hear the rustling of the leaves, whatever, and he's going to jump on that guy, and he's going to go and kill him. So the fact that I was kofse lefnei ari, I didn't really do anything major, because the ari, if I wouldn't have been kofse, he would have run away. Guess what? The ari would have sprinted more quickly and would have got him anyway. So you look at Rashi, kofse lefnei ari potter. Rashi's parallel to Agamai. Di'ilami, di'inami loyo yekofes. Even if he wouldn't be tied down, loyo yochel hatzel atzmin ari. There's no way that you can outrun a lion. The lion runs at 50, 60 miles an hour. And he's going to easily go Nebuch and chop this fellow. So the fact that you tied him down, You didn't accomplish anything. You weren't goyim. You didn't do anything.
You didn't contribute anything.
You didn't contribute anything.
Where was the stagger in this?
Oh, very good. So now the question asks Brother Shai, what about the person that's tying him down? Why wouldn't the lion go and eat him up as well? Not only the person who's tied down, the tied down eat, but even the tied down er, the guy that's doing this tying. Why don't we say that
he's in a shark cage?
Okay, so then the Meiri says the pshat is that it's talking about that he was, for instance, a lion trainer. And he had a deal with the lion, you know, and abracadabra, whatever the lions do in the circuses. I'm sure you've all been to circuses where you've seen that these lion trainers. Now in New York, I think it's prohibited, right, because it's cruelty to animals. Oh, wonderful stuff. But anyway, in good old days when you were able to see things like that, so the trainer would train the lion not to go and attack him. However, he didn't go and train the lion not to attack somebody else. So that lion is free to go and attack anybody he wants, except for the trainer with whom he has an understanding. They've made up that he's not going to attack him. So if you go and tie up the other guy, you're potter because the lion would have gotten to him anyway, especially since this fellow is immune. That's the teretz that's given by the Meiri. And there's a sefer called Sanhedrin Rabba or something like that, Sanhedrin Rabba, where he said that the pshat is, he's talking about that he's wearing, for instance, a military garb, for, you know, like in the good old days that they used to go and wear these iron type of
armor,
that's the word, armor. So he was wearing such armor, and therefore that would have protected him against the Ari, but the other guy wasn't wearing any protective armor, so the Ari would have caught him, Sayazoi, whether he was tied down or not, and therefore you're potter. What about the Yetushin? Yetushin Rechayv. Obviously, Yetushin means some sort of dangerous type of insect, maybe something like a wasp,
hornet.
Or hornet, bees, whatever. Yetushin, we don't normally think of being dangerous. Maybe if a person had 100 or 200 mosquito bites,
a swarm,
maybe it would be dangerous. Don't try it out. But it's talking about a situation where it's definitely potentially lethally dangerous. So if it were just Yetushim Stam and he wasn't tied down, so he runs away from all of these insects and he shoos them off and all that. But if he's Kofsai, if he is tied down, there's no way he can go and flee from these Yetushim because he's there and they're there and it's going to be, you know, open season for them, this fellow. So then you're Chayv, because then you are actually, you cause it. The Hoirig is here. The Yetushim are here. He went and tied him down. So the Hoirig is Mezuman. So in such a case, Rava holds that you're Chayv. Ravashi Amar Afilu Lefnei Yetushin, Nami Potter, Hani Azli Vahani Asi. What means Afilu Lefnei Yetushin? Even if he went and he wasn't tied down, but he was there among the Yetushin, even in such a case, he would also be Potter. In other words, going back, Rava says, Kofsa Lefnei Ari Potter, Lefnei Yetushin. Ravashi Amar Afilu Lefnei Yetushin, Nami Potter. Why Lefnei Yetushin, Nami Potter? Because Hani Azli Vahani Asu. The one that tied him down, those Yetushim don't remain there forever. Yetushim, by definition, are always swarming and are always flying around. So the ones that were there initially when he was Kofsai, they have left. And these are new Yetushim that come on the spot. And what's the difference? Because we said before, it's got to be a Hoirig Mezuman. So the present Yetushim in front of whom he tied him down, they are going to run away. They're going to fly away because that's their derech. They don't stay put. They fly away to other places. So what caused his death? It was the Yetushim that came later on. So that's not a Hoirig Mezuman on the spot. These are guys that came later.
Well, Rashi doesn't hold the Breira, huh?
If you look at Rashi, Hani Azli V'Hanu Asi, V'loi Meis Al Yedei Yetushim Harishayim. He didn't die because of those first Yetushim. Shei Muchanim Sham, that were waiting there at the time. Shekama Kitois Ovru Olav. They keep on coming in swarms, one after the other after the other. So the one that he, at the time that he went and tied them down, those guys, if they would stay there and they wouldn't move on, Einacharam, he would be Chayv. However, since they did move on, who killed them ultimately, the third or the fourth swarm that comes
in?
the later cut. So that's not a Hoirig Mezuman, and therefore you're potter. Good. Zukti Marvaitim. Itmar, Kofal of Gigis, Uparo Olav Maziva. What happens if you take a person and you go and cover over him a barrel where now it's very hard for him to breathe, and in no time he will not have any oxygen there, but rather there's going to be carbon dioxide, which chas v'shalom he'll die. It's a kavul of kigis. Or paro olav maziva. Paro olav maziva is talking about that it was very, very cold outside. He was able to, however, survive because he was at home sleeping in his bed. And what protected him from the cold? The walls, as well as the ceiling, the roof over the guy's head. Somebody comes in and he bores a hole in the maziva. Maziva means in the ceiling, in the roof. And now a sudden burst of cold rushes in and unfortunately causes his death. Not on the spot, but over time, because it kept on getting colder and colder, and he freezes. So what happens now? So we have a machlok between Rava and Reb Zeira in these two cases. Rava Reb Zeira, chad ha-machai v'chad ha-mapata. One holds in the case of the gigis, or the case of the mazivi. Chai, one holds pata. This time the Rava who the ha-mapata. L'choy, I'll bring you a raya that it's Rava that holds pata. Why? The ha-mapata. Kofsoi, umeis barov, is potter. He went and tied him down, and the person didn't die immediately, he died eventually, over time. So that's not a hoirig mezuman, and he's potter. And the Gemara assumes that that's the same case over here. He didn't die instantaneously under this gigas. As time goes on, and he keeps on breathing more and more and more, and the oxygen keeps on getting converted into carbon dioxide, so maybe in an hour, maybe in 3 hours, maybe in a half an hour, whatever it is. Eventually it's going to happen, but it doesn't happen instantaneously. So it's not like the case of the person in the water, or the case of the person in the fire, where if he's mitzamtzem and he can't get out and he can't breathe, 10 seconds later it's all over. It's more like the Meis Barov case, that initially ain't a hoirig mezuman, but it's going to happen eventually. Oh, so just like Rava said it happens eventually, it's potter. Here too, the Gemara assumes that in the case of the gigas and the maziva, it's also going to be pot. I'll bring you a right punkt verkehrt, that it's Reb Zeira is the one that holds potter. Where? The Reb Zeira. Hayman da aile lichavraya. Chavrei. The base of the shisha. What happens if somebody invites in his chaver into a bias of shayish? Shay means of marble. The reason why we talk about a marble, which means that it's basically airtight, that there's no way air gets in or out. There are no windows, there are no fans, even
hermetically sealed.
It's hermetically sealed. So therefore, it's just, if you don't let the person out of this house, eventually he's going to pass away, because it's not going to be fresh air. But of course, we're not just talking about a house which is twice 2x2 a sukkah, we're talking about a house. So this is not going to happen immediately, it's going to happen over time. But what happens? Instead of waiting until this person's breath gives way, he went and lit a candle or a fire inside the house, and of course that fire, that candle, ate up the oxygen. That being the case, guess what happens to us? And the person never passed away. He is chayiv. Why is chayiv? Because that's the hoirig mezuman. He's drawing out all of the air, he's drawing out all of the oxygen, and therefore it's chayiv. But Shakti Marba, Tama de Abba Gleishraga, Reb Zeira was talking about because he lit this fire. Holoi Abba Gleishraga, however, if he would not have lit the fire, how did the person die? He died as a result, says Rashi, Umeis behevel pinth, dumi de kafel of gigas, and he's potter. Holoi Abba Gleishraga is loy, he would be potter. So in other words, the Gemara is equating now the case of this person where you didn't light the shraga. But the reason why he didn't live is because eventually there was no oxygen left because of all the carbon dioxide as a result of his breathing and breathing and breathing. So the same thing is the chayra inside the gigas. That in the gigas too, you put the gigas over the guy's head. He didn't directly kill him, but eventually there was no oxygen left. It all became converted to carbon dioxide. So, says Imar, the chayra, these are one and the same. Why don't you say, therefore, the one that says that it's potter is Reb Zeira, just like in the bayis the shayish. Everything, the reason why I didn't shtel to the case of the shayish, amri hosam b'loi shraga l'maschil havla b'shatei. Without the fire that is consuming the oxygen very quickly, then nothing is really happening at that time. Meaning, this person could presumably live another day or a week, even though the oxygen level keeps on going lower and lower and lower, but there's no hoirig mezuman on the spot. When you go and put these gigas over the guy's head, unfortunately he's already about to suffocate already now, okay? For the next 5 minutes, maybe the next 10 minutes, maybe the next hour, he can still survive. But it's just a question of time. It's, it's almost one to... I'm sorry?
It's inevitable.
Inevitable, but it's not only inevitable, it's also inevitable. It's also imminent. It's both imminent and inevitable. So both eyes.
Rabbeinu,
the rabbi is inside if you want to ask him a question. How can I help
He's sitting
you?
Next to me.
Who else is the other side? Okay, shoot.
So the intent is not even discussed here.
The intent over here is a
malicious,
bad guy.
It's malicious. It's definitely, no question malicious.
We're assuming that this guy is a bad guy. And he wants to go and cause either major harm or death to this fellow.
Right.
That's assumed. We didn't have to dwell on that. That's taken as a bottom line assumption that the guy wants him to die. Or at the very least, to suffer immeasurably. Okay? And he was successful. The guy died.
Right.
So now the question is, he chayiv bidei Adam, bidei Shemayim, we already saw for sure. But is he chayiv here in Bezdin down below or not?
Yeah.
So what does it all depend on? If it's horig mizuman, it's on the spot, then it's as if he shot the guy with a...
Yedayim.
If, however, it's only going to happen over time, Rashi says that's called like a grumma, because it didn't happen immediately. It's going to happen in a week, in a day, in a year, or whatever. So the question is, when is this grumma considered to be so imminent and so inevitable that it becomes chayiv right away? And those are, each case, you have to kind of weigh one case against the other. And now we have similar cases. Simen tzulam tris, samonim bekaisel. Omer Rav, doch foy lebar. A Reuven pushed Shimon in, not this Reuven, this Reuven is a tzaddik. Reuven a Yisrael, not a Levi. Went and threw Shimon and pushed him into a bar. And when he pushed him into a bar, the sulam a bar, there was a sulam in the bar. So therefore, at the moment of the pushing, the person could have easily saved himself. He gets to the bottom of the bar, he climbs up the steps, he climbs up the ladder, he comes out of the bar. However, you know what happened? Ubo acher, someone else came, v'silkoi, and took the sulam away, or v'afiluhu kodam v'silkoi. Even if the same person that pushed him into the bar apparently was quite deep, before he landed on the bottom of the bar, the person who pushed him pulled out the ladder. Guess what happens now? You would think, oh, for sure he should be chayiv. He's potter. Why is he potter? To be in the shadya, when he pushed him into the bar, yochel lalisu, he was able to go and extricate himself from the bar because there was a sulam. He afterwards took the sulam away. That's considered to be like a separate maisa on its own. And that is only a grumma. When I pushed him, when the guy who pushed him in, at that moment he could have saved himself. No problem. When he landed on the bottom, there was no longer a ladder. But that there's no ladder, that's only a grumma, because it's not at this time I'm pulling the ladder away. The ladder was already removed before it even hit the ground. So now when he hits the ground, guess what happens? He's not able to get out because he has no, there's no ladder, there's no escape. But I didn't do that. That's already just a grumma. See, if you look at the Rashi, Vafilahu, top line of the Rashi, Vafilahu, Hadoichav Atzmoy, Koda Vesilkoi, Koidim Nefilosi Shalzeb. We don't mean before he pushed him in. We mean he already pushed him in, but before the guy landed on the bottom of the bar, he spotted. Why, Be'ini Deshadja, one, he pushed him, Yochalalisu. He was able to get out because there was a ladder at that time, Upotter Alda Tchia. He's Potter on the pushing. You can't go and be mechayivim on the silik, the fact that he removed the ladder. That's only gram valmu. That's not killing him. That's just removing the escape latch.
By the time he landed, there was no ladder.
That's for sure.
So why are we saying that the dochef, the pusher, has a loophole because there was a ladder present when he pushed him?
Mm-hmm.
The point should not be the moment when he pushed him, should be the moment when he landed, where he could have used the ladder to immediately escape. Why are we cutting it back and saying he's putter? He should be chayev. He threw him into
I understand exactly what you're saying. What the Gemara is doing is splitting the two actions.
Each one is individually pachs mashir.
Good. What happens if let's assume Reuven pushed him into the bar, and let's take Shimon instead, so that it becomes a little bit clearer.
Right, just two and then, people.
Let's assume that he's already in the bottom of the bar,
okay.
And now
Shimon comes along and takes out the ladder.
Exactly right. would Shimon be chayiv misa for taking out
the letter? No, because he did a grumma. And Reuven
did exactly. Okay, he did a grumma. So the siluk itself is a grumma. We all agree with that? Yes.
Yeah.
But the tchiyah, l'chayiv, that's a deathly, throwing him into the bar. No, it's not deathly, because at the time he threw him into the bar, there was a sulam. He could have gotten out of the bar. So looking at each event separately...
Why did you come to come to that? To say that it's only a grumma. You push him in the bar, it's a grumma. Just like if he tied him up, his brother says he's butter.
Yeah, but the assumption is that if there's a sulam there, so he can get out. It's like pushing the guy into the water and he can get out. Yochalal is Mishnah, he's butter.
Okay, but Rava said,
in our Mishnah, right? You doch for you put him into the mayim or to the or, but Yochalal is Mishnah, he was able to get out. And
he's not
decided,
able to because it's unrelated.
The ladder wasn't an option.
Yeah, this is no right. Than
because by the time he fell down, there was no ladder
there.
It's
not even in the parsha.
But we're talking about at the time that he pushed him.
Why is it totally on the moment of pushing? Why isn't depend on the moment when he could have escaped? Because that's really the relevant moment.
When he got to the bottom.
Exactly.
And then somebody removed the ladder.
Right.
So I heard everybody agreed that's only a grumma.
He removed the ladder while he was falling.
Exactly. At the time of the pushing, it wasn't an option by the time he got to the bottom.
Right, right.
Because you are combining the two events together. Right. The beginning of when he pushed him in. You agree that when he pushed him in, as long as it was a ladder, they were okay. Then you agree that at the end, when he fell down, after he landed,
he couldn't get the ladder.
Exactly. So the fact that you removed the ladder before he landed or after he landed, all of that is siluk, is just a grumma. Because not that at that point I went and pushed him. He is falling on his own, free falling, unfortunately, Rahman al-Salam. And again, as Rashi said in the Yomar Aleph, this guy is going to get a lot of brownie points l'shamayim. Kadosh Baruch will take care of him. But down here on the Eretz, each of the two events on their own are not sufficient to go and give them and convict him.
So, but what happens if he waits for the Ishmaelim to take him out of the bor?
If they do, though, and then sell him to Mitzrayim.
Exactly.
To Potiphar. That's another reason why he's Potiphar, because maybe Ishmael will come. Exactly.
Exactly.
You never know.
Why?
Right.
Before we said Rav, Chasub Bechamel Meis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chasub Meis
Barav. Right.
It was attenuated.
Right, same thing here. He's not going to die immediately. He's gonna die from hunger, I assume. It's no different than the hunger.
The guy there in the bar is also not going to die immediately just because he fell to the bottom.
Right, exactly. So you don't need ladder or no ladder, it shouldn't make a difference.
So you're okay with it that he's
bothered. I am okay with it, but don't
at least somebody's happy with it.
You don't have to bring a ladder into the
I'm
story.
Not happy. It should depend on the
push the guy into
the removal floor. Should depend on the, right. on the moment when you could get up, not on the moment when you fell in.
Anyway, that was the former ladder, case, and this is the latter case. Right? Exactly. Anyway, so that is the new halacha of Rava v'Yomer Rava. Now, this same halacha of Rava is going to be repeated two more times in slightly different fact scenarios. But you'll quickly see that it's all the same gang, the same approach. V'Yomer Rava, Zorak Chetz Utris B'Yoveh. A person went and shot an arrow against Reuven, shot it against Shimon. And Shimon is holding at that time a protective shield that's going to protect him, and nothing's going to happen. And guess what happens? Ubo acher, and now Shimon comes over and he schleps away the tris. Or even if the person that shot the arrow, assuming that he has a marathon runner, that he's able to run quicker than the arrow, which would be quite difficult, but in case theoretically he was able to, and to remove the tris from the victim. Talach is Potter. Why is he Potter? He shot the arrow. He took away the tris. He's a bad guy. Again, the same analysis. At the time that he shot the arrow, Nifzik Piske Gire, there was the shield that would have stopped the Chitzim. So therefore, that was Gunish and nothing happened. The fact that a minute later he ran and he pulled away the shield before the arrow was able to land, so that's just a Siluk. Siluk, we said before, is a Grama Be'alma. Right, he's Potter. And the Omer Rava, a third case. Zorak Boichet, same thing, he shot an arrow. Bisamon Biyodoy. And he, the victim, had a bunch of medicines ready, willing, and able, that as soon as Chas V'Shalom he gets a puncture by the Chetz, the Samon would have been successful in healing him so that he should be okay. So it's similar to the shield situation. And again, Ubo Acher Upizron, somebody else came, he took that whole package of the Samon and he scattered it and he spread it out, so he wouldn't be able to go and use it successfully. And similarly, Mafilu Hu Kadam, Who cut him? The fellow that Zorg Bechetz. He ran quickly. Upizran, he took away all the Samanim and had them scatter and all the rest. He spotted, same reason, to be in the Shodim Bay. At the time that he shot the arrow, Yochel Yisrapi Sava, he was able to go and get a refuah. I don't know why the Gemara repeats this three times. The Choyer, they're all the same case. But on case number three, we already have some additions. Omer of Ashi, Hilka Chafila Samanim Bishuk. What happens if the person, when he got the arrow hole in his body, it wasn't in his heart or in his lungs, it was another part of the body where he's only going to die, quote unquote, slowly, not immediately on the scene. So therefore he or his mishpacha or friend can immediately run to the shuk, to the apotheker, to Atzala, good, or to apothekers, to a pharmacy, a drugstore, good, thank you, and you can go and buy the samanim over there in the shuk, and that would have healed him. So if that is the situation, that he shot the arrow and the person could have healed himself by quickly running to the shuk and getting the samanim, once again, the shooter is pot.
If the person was too poor to afford to be able to buy the lechatchila, you know you're shooting someone who has no means to be able to afford the medical care to...
You go to the gemach.
So that again, is pot. Continuing on, let me ask you, Ravashi, what happens if the person shot, at that time, he, the victim, did not have any samanim, there was no store in the region, and guess what happened? And after the shot wound, and Reuven is laughing all the way home, oh, Baruch Hashem, I finally got rid of my enemy, who I hated so badly, he's a dead goner, now this victim is kind of walking around wondering, what should I do? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes a nest for him. There's definitely someone there in the middle of nowhere. Hey, look, there's a whole Hatzalah kit over here with all different types of remedies. And he's able to go and save himself. So now, what happens? Do I say that this shooter should be taken on attempted murder? Because after all, he tried to kill him and unfortunately, it didn't work from his standpoint. Or what happens if Nizdam le Samanim and the victim didn't use those Samanim? He left them on the ground and he said, well, if it's Hashem's will that I'll die, and if Hashem's will that I'll live.
He didn't trust them, they were sterile or something.
Exactly, whatever. He didn't use them. So what happens now to the shooter? Exactly. Amalei harayatzami bezin zakai. Bottom line is, if the person had a remedy available to him and he didn't use it, it's like the guy in the swimming pool or in the fire that says, I'm not going out, I'm going to stay here and we'll see what the consequences are. Well, what the consequences are, the guy died. So it's not the fault of the shooter because the victim had the ability to go and save himself. So therefore, he uses the expression, Hayotzi Bezn Zakai, Lamaisi, he still has a winning defense. The guy could have saved himself with all of those summon. The Yom Rav, Zorak Tzror Bekoisel, V'chozer La'choyrei, V'horga. Chayev. This is the famous ricochet or boomerang type of situation. Person is throwing a stone against the wall, and it ricocheted back, V'chozer La'choyrei, V'horga, and it killed someone. What's the din chayev? Now, we're obviously talking about a case where he intended to kill the person, but he didn't go and throw it directly at him. He threw it at the wall, and from the wall, it went and hit him. So the Chiddush of Rav is, maybe this is no longer considered koichoi. It's like koichoi. It's an indirect, because after all, he didn't throw it at the enemy directly. He threw it at the wall, and it ricocheted, and maybe she be put. Kamash v'lon, no, he is chayv. V'tonatun, in fact, we have a braisa that supports this, and the braisa tells us two separate cases. Most case of advice. Going elu hamesachkim bekadur. Those people that play with a ball and the ball. I'm sorry, soccer.
Maybe.
No, not soccer. No. We're talking about off the
football.
Wall.
Off the wall.
What's in
handball.
Some place?
Handball.
Handball. Racquetball. There's a new thing called now pickleball. And there's some people play tennis and some people play squash. All of those things that you have to have a wall. And you go and throw the ball against the wall, and you know what happens when you throw it, when you hit it against the wall with a racket, right? Then it comes back, and then the other guy has to go and hit it. So what happens? And as the ball comes back, instead of continuing to be in play, you have a question? Sorry. Steve, shoot.
There was a case, I think about 1920, a baseball player died from a pitch. A Major League Baseball player. The only time it ever happened.
Really? So somebody, he said,
it was a pitch ball. They were both playing the game.
I understand. And then he threw the pitch, and unfortunately, it didn't land in the guy's glove or in the guy's bat. Landed on his head.
I think it happened once. Then they put helmets in and stuff like that.
Ah, okay. Well, certainly to that person only happened once if he passed away.
Well, in the game itself, it's one time, I think it's ever happened.
I gotcha. Okay, well, that's very unfortunate.
They were both involved in the game, the ball game.
I gotcha. Do you remember the name of either the pitcher or the one that got hit?
Chapman, I think, was the fellow who was killed.
Chapman?
It was about 1920 or so.
Nebuch. Oh, I feel sorry. But anyway, getting back, we're leaving now baseball, and now we're talking about
handball
off the wall that you go and throw it against the wall and it hits back. Yeah. So Rashi says it's a little bit different than what we do today in handball games. If you're wondering what did they do in those days, Kegoyin, if you look at Rashi's halfway down the Omud, Rashi says, Kegoyin, Elu amasachkim bekadur shehargu. Regilin tinoikois, tinoikis are the kids. Used to have this minhog, lahakos hakadur bekoisel bekoyach. They would go and hit the kadur against the wall bekoyach, either by throwing it or hakos sounds like they did it with a racket or some sort. Kedeisha taksel achoyri harve. If they do it really bekoyach, it's going to go and travel far back. In other words, it's going to ricochet not just abyssala, but a few feet. Ulaacher shizoyrek. Bach changed the gears slightly over here.
That
after he was successful in throwing it, even though before he was talking about hitting it, now he's talking about throwing it. Actually, Zorkoi, who runs, he runs away. The chaveri oiches is a kadur, and then the chaver catches the kadur, not to go and hit further, but to go and catch it. Umak oisiba, and then he hits it back, not against the wall, but apparently against the first guy. In other words, it wasn't a competition who can go and hit
more
it more.
More a dodgeball.
It's something like that. Good. If he's able to mechavin, hit the other guy and chas v'shalom kill the other guy. If that was his kavana, some chaver he had, then he wanted to go and kill the chaver by throwing against the wall, and it would ricochet and it would hit him in the head, and he's going to kill him. That was his kavana. The Yeshbet Kedil Hamas. And the ball, because of either the ball being as heavy as it is or as dangerous it is, as well as the fact that it hits the other guy twice 20 miles an hour into his head, whatever, a combination, Yeshbet Kedil Hamas is chayov. So that's the case of the people playing the racquetball, handball, whatever, against the wall. So getting back to our Gemara now. So Rava said, Zorik Tzorer B'Koysel, he threw not a ball, but a stone, and intentionally he wanted to go and hit somebody else, and he was successful, and he hit the other guy, V'Horga, he's Chayv. V'Tana Tuna, in the Brice, we're learning, going, Ilam Sachim Mekadur, Shehargu, if it was B'Mezid, then Neherogit. Then, in fact, you take him to Bezin, and he'll get Herig, because he's a Reitzeah. Besides, but Bishoyg, if he didn't intentionally want to kill the other guy, but unfortunately it was a terrible accident, then Goylan, then he has to go to the Ori Miklat. That's the Brisa. So from the first part of the Brisa, we have a Raya to Rava, if that was his intention, and it was successful, even though it wasn't his direct Koyach, it was an indirect Koyach. Nevertheless, it was his Koyach, and that's why the other person died, and that's why you're chayiv herik. Okay, but more on the shogig portion, goylan, chayiv, I mean, isn't that a double poshit? He didn't mean to go and kill the other guy, he was just having a good time playing ball against the wall, and unfortunately he used too much force, and somebody passed by and hit him nebuch in the head. So, avadah was b'shogig, so avadah goylan. So, tomorrow, b'mezin erogin instrukhlai. The chidish is not on the shogig part, it's on the mezin part. Now, to say masro safiki, miyema dehadra. For a Ritzeach to be chayv, you have to go and give him hasra. And therefore, two people would have to go and say, Ruvay, take it easy. You know, the way you're shooting this ball against, or the rock in the previous case by Rava, or in the case of the Brisa, with the ball, the way you're throwing it with such vehemence, with such such strength, this is deadly. This could kill somebody. And you know, if a ricochet's in the wrong direction or whatever, chulila. So I might think that the Hasra Safiki, that type of Hasra would all be a Safik, because Miyema Dehadra, who says that in fact he's going to be successful at that ricocheting? not every time that you hit the ball against the wall does it go in that particular direction. And maybe it's not going to go with that same velocity, because maybe it's going to fall into a hole, in a hole or a crevice in the wall. So when it goes back, it's not going to go with that same vehemence and that same strength. So therefore, the whole thing is a sort of suffix. Maybe, maybe not. Kamash Maloney is telling you, no, 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 no. Bottom line is, if he did it with the intent to kill somebody, and he did it with all the force in the world, and it worked, then it's not considered to be Hasura Sofik, it's considered to be Hasura Zvadai, and he is Chayiv. Tony Rav Tachlivi Bamirov Akami Drabavo. Kagoin Elu, Hamasachim the Kadur, same case I was talking about a moment ago. Shehorgu and Chashashom they killed, and Rashi has two pshatim, but pshat number one that Rashi seems to favor is here it's different than the previous Gemara. Here it's talking about that it happened b'shoigeg, and the potter and the chayiv that we're going to talk about are going to be, does he have to go to the Ari Miklat, or does he not have to go to the Ari Miklat? So going, Eilu Masach B'Kadur, Shehorgu Toich Arba Amis. If the victim was within four Amis of the wall when the Kadur came back and hit him over the head and killed him, then he's potter. Chutz La'Arba Amis, if the victim was beyond four Amis, and the Kadr hit him on the head and killed him, then he's chayiv, that is the thrower of the ball, is chayiv to go into the Ari Miklat. Now the question is, what difference does it make? You are four Amis, different, not four Amis. We're not talking about Hilchas Shabbos over here, of Hitzom, Rishus, Rishus. So what difference does it make? Four Amis, five Amis, 10 Amis, 20 Amis. What's the difference? It's only Rabino Ravashi. Hey, Chidam! If the thrower is happy about how far the ball traveled, a Philipportanami, then he should be chayiv, even if it's within one amma. That was his intent by throwing it against the wall, that it should go and ricochet one amma, and that's what happened. And then somebody, some poor fellow was passing by and hit him in the head. So a Philipportanami, he should be chayiv. Why do we say toich arba amma says, but? No, he's not happy about the fact that the ball traveled as far as it did. So even if it went 50 amas and killed somebody, I didn't want it to go 50 amas. I only wanted to go 20 amas. After all, I didn't want to have to run after the ball. I wanted the ball to be close by, and I wanted to be able to continue playing ball. So what's the inyan of this 4 amas business? Amalei, so he told him, Stam mesachem ekader, kama de aili tvei, meinach nichalei. That's this gear. So on the side, it's slightly different gear. So kama de azli minei, people that are in this business, not in business, but in the playing kadur, normally their intention is that it should go as far as possible. Because each one wants to show their strength, and each one wants to be able to go home and say, you'll never believe it, I was playing a paddle ball, a racket ball today, and I hit the ball, and the ball went so far, went into the woods, and we couldn't even find the ball anymore, because it was, that's how far, and like a home run, you see how far it went, wow! So that's Derech Klal, Kama de Aili Tvei, or Kama de Azli. What's the difference between Aili Tvei or Azli Minei? Rashi says the Aili Tvei means more that the person runs closer to the wall to be able to go and really hit it with all of his strength and all of his might. Because after all, if he's standing 20 feet away from the wall and he throws it to the wall, it's not going to ricochet as much as if he's only 2 feet away from the wall and he throws it directly at the wall, then it's going to ricochet much, much more. So the Aili Tvei is going on the individual. Come to Aili Tvei, the more that he gets closer to the wall, Meinach Nichalei, he's happy because then the ball is going to go further. Much, much further. And the other girsa of the Mzor Zashas is not that how much he gets closer to the wall, but Kamadi Azli Minei, how far it goes away from him, in other words, how far it traveled, Meinach Nichalei. So basically it's the same in substance, just a question how you touch the words. Aili Tvei is going on the thrower, Azli Minei is going on the ball, the further that it goes away from the wall. Very good. The further that it goes away from the wall, Meinach Nichalei, he is happy. Ah, so therefore, if it only went a little bit, these four amas, he's disappointed. I wanted this to go 5, 10 amas, 20 amas, 50 amas. Only went 4. So therefore, he didn't intend it. And it's not even a shogig, it's now an oinus. The fact that it went only 3 amas and hit somebody. I never wanted to go 3 amas. I wanted to go 30 amas. I would have been so proud. I could have told all my friends. Can you imagine? I'm in now the Ripley's World Book of Records. I was able to hit it all the way. And unfortunately, it only went 3 amas. However, if it went at least 4 amas, or chutz le'arba amas, that was his intent, that it should go at least 4 amas. So his intent was, in fact, materialized. and never hurt somebody. He didn't intend to hurt someone, but Lamas, he didn't. He killed him. So then it's a shogi. He has to go to the Ari Mikra. Zogti Gemara, lememra d'chiyai gavna koi chai hu. So based on what you're telling me, not only these cases, but the earlier cases, it's koi chai hu, right? By the fact that even though it ricocheted, it's still considered to be his koyach. It's not considered to be a koyach. Okay. Look, I'm going to ask you a kasha, and now we're leaving totally. We're leaving. I'm trying to say something. We're going out into left field. Totally left field. If you were a baseball game, like Steve was telling us about before, back in 1920. So what is the left field? You have a person who is now trying to create Pora Aduma water to be able to use for being Matayr Mesim, not Mesim, Tmei Mes. And how do you do this? You go and take the ash from the Pora Aduma and you got to place it into the water of the Mayim Chaim. Then you mix it and then you do your spritzing and the person or the Kalim become Tar. So what happens over here? HaMekadish. Mekadish means a person who is being Mekadish the water by placing the ash in it. And instead of the ash going directly into the water, as you would anticipate, instead the ash went from one hand to the other, and it splashed or it splattered onto his hand, or on the side of the kli that he was either removing the ash from, or that he was putting the ash into. The achkach, and only after that it ricocheted from his hand, or from the side of the kli, and not for the shoykis, and now it fell into that trough down below where the water was, where it's going to get mixed. What's aloha? It's possible. Possible means that this water does not get the status of paraduma water. Why not? Because when Asamayim Chaim El Kelly, and he also has to place the ash into the water, and here he didn't put the ash in the water, it went from hand to hand, or hand to kli, and then it went in. So it's like a koyach koyach situation, and that's why it's possible. Aye, one second. Didn't you just say, by throwing it against the wall and then ricochet, that's not koyach koyach, that's koyach. And that's why if he did it intentionally, the chas v'shalom this misa. And if he did it unintentionally, he has to go to the Aron Miklat. And here it's ricocheting from one hand to the other and to the thing, and we're saying it's possible. Everything ma'akamai iskinim b'shoises. Shoises means that it's kind of dripping down. Meaning, this is not like the case of the ball that you threw. And now when it ricochets it from the wall and hits somebody else, that was his direct koyach. If he wouldn't have thrown against the wall, nothing would have happened. So that's direct koyach, indirect koyach, but that was his koyach. Over here, by the choices, means that when he dropped it into the kli, it didn't fall into the kli, rather it fell on the side of his hand, or the side of the kli, and subsequently it fell in. That is a result of a ricocheting type of thing. It may even have stayed there on his hand or on the side.
Dragged it down.
The gravity dragged it. Eventually, it fell down.
There's so many things with Parah Duma that are malahu bepara, that are not parallel in any other.
Those malas are derabbanan. This is a din d'oraisa.
Okay.
He has to go and place it directly into the water, and it didn't go into the water. It only ricocheted. So we're saying it doesn't work. Okay, so if you look in the Rashi, Vakach Nofal Shoykes, second of the middle wide lines there, down the bottom, Vakach Nofal Shoykes. Even Chalula, it's a hollow stone, Shamayim Nichnosim Boy Min HaMayim, Derech Nekev, Shvoy Feres, that you let the water in from a Mayim down below, that's the Tachsev Mayim Chaim El Kelly, Shtei Chiyusim B'Kli, that they have their first life in the Kli, meaning that you can't go and take the water in a kli, and then pour it into a second kli, that would already be Mayim Shuvim, which just like it's no good for a mikveh, it's no good for the paraduma water. It's got to be chiyusim a kli, that they become fresh, and they become lively.
The first appearance is in a kli.
Good. Because Oka Daitach, the high Nofal Diktani, that we said about the ash that is falling down, Kigoyin Shenofal Yod B'Koyach, or Yaletzad, in other words, it was now a ricocheting type of koyach thing. Koyim Altzad HaKli. That it fell eventually to shoykes, although it fell in two stages, if you will. First it hit the hand, and then after it hit the kli. But it ricocheted from there down into the kli. It's possible. Why is it possible? We're saying ricocheting is koyach. After b'shoyses of Rashi, lo nitz mi koyach nefila rishoyna. It didn't fall down as a result of the original koyach that he dropped it, and now it hit the wall or hit his hand, and then it ricocheted down. suggests on its own drip down, because it's not going to stay there in mid-air on his hand or on the side of the kli forever. So eventually it fell down, but not because of the original koyach. So nishka kasha. Okay. Toshima, new case. Machat. Yeah, you have that machat shoyinusuna ala cheres. You have a machat that is on top of a kli cheres. It's a machat, it's a little needle. Vihiza oleha. And now both the cheres and the machat apparently were tamei. Or you're going to tell me if the cheres is tamei, shvirosan hutarosan. Right. So therefore there's no purpose in doing it on the cheres. Right. But the maisa, he did hazor. The intention presumably was on the machat, which was made out of metal. He wanted to retire it. He's all there. Sofik ala machat is this. Sofik ala cheres. I don't know where the water landed. Did it land on the machat or on the cheres? He's a umitza oleha has the osik possible. What the Gemara is talking about is, again, a situation where I eventually saw that the machat was wet. The question is, how did it get wet? Is because my hazor went directly on the machat? Or did it go on the cheres, and then a mitzah aleha, and then it ricocheted from the cheres onto the machat? No, hazor sipsul, and then the hazor is possible. Also, there's a ricocheting situation. That's the lashon of the mitzoy, right, that it spritz from there onto the machat. Since I don't know whether it was directly from his hazor or indirectly, it's a shayla, it's also impossible. Why? We said by the kadur, since it ricocheted, that's his koyach. So here too, when it was mitzah, when it came off the cheres onto the machat, also it should be tohar, because it ricocheted from his koyach. And Igmar again gives the same type of answer. It wasn't a ricochet. Om Rav Chinda Bar Yehuda, Mishmei Derav. Motze itma. Don't say mitzah, say motze. Like Igmar says, motze or moitze, right? But here we're talking about a different situation. Motze or mitzah. Mitzah means it's taka spritzed. Oh, spritz, so since it's from his original spritzing, it went on, even if it went on the cheres, but directly from the cheres it ricocheted onto the machat, that would be okay. Here it's talking about the matzah. After the hazor is over, I look at the machat to see if it's wet. Yeah, it's taka wet. But I don't know how it got wet. Did it get wet as a result of a taka, I spritz it directly on the machat? Or was it originally on the cheres, and then it dripped down from the cheres onto the machat, but not as a result of some sort of ricocheting, but like a shoisis. There was water on top of the cheres. Maybe the cheres was a little bit at an angle. So eventually the water dripped down onto the machat, and that's how the machat got wet, and therefore, I don't know, as osi possible. Right, the itmar omre papa, haiman de kafse lechavrei. Oh, so let's go back now to the tying people down. That's how we started the Gemara today. A person tied someone down. The ashkel alei bidka demaya, and now he opened up a bidka demaya, means like he opened up a major faucet or a major pipe full of water, and unfortunately, as a result, the person drowned in that water. Gir didehu, that's his direct filin are arrows. Umachayv, b'hani mila b'koyach rishon, b'koyach sheni groma ba'almu. It's got to be that as a direct effect of that bidka demaya. So now, what would be koyach rishon and koyach sheni? So Rashi says, depends where that person happens to be. What happens if he's directly next to, let's say, the svasaya, and you let out the water directly on top of him, then it's just a question of another few minutes, and there's not going to be any way that he can lift his head up or escape, because he's already twice at the edge of the swimming pool. Now you're adding more and more water until it's going to be over his head, and you tied him down. So then, that's koyach rishon. That's like our Mishnah. And koyach sheni, explains Rashi, is that he pushed him, he nichoy rochak tzas. He wasn't next to the water when this guy let the water in. He was somewhat removed. And slowly but surely, the water is going to accumulate and eventually get to him. So that's not going to happen in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It's not a hoirig mezumen. It might take a few hours, maybe take a day, etc. Rashi over here doesn't really explain it in great detail. Rashi elsewhere says it's talking about that there was, for instance, a dam, and the person, the ishtakalei vidka demai, means that he made a hole in the dam, or he pulled some of the dam away. He pulled out the stopper from the wall, and then the water started rushing in. So if he's right next to that stopper where he pulled the stopper out, then the water's starting to rush in, and he drowns quickly, then obviously that's gir didehu, like shooting arrows. On the other hand, if he happens to be removed, he's the equivalent of Christ 100 feet away. And now, as a result of opening up the dam, slowly but surely the water is accumulating, getting higher and higher and higher. Okay, so that's not considered to be Girditei. That's already a koyach koychoi, a grama ba'alma, and he's part of it. Yomer Papa, Zorak Tzoror Lamala, V'holchel Etzdodim V'harga Chayv. Person took a rock, and he threw it up in the air, oh, very, very high. And it didn't come directly down, but it came down a little bit at an angle, and it fell down Nebuch on somebody, Barga, he's chayv. If he did it b'mezid, he's chayv of Misa, and if he did it b'shoigig, then he would be chayv or in Niklat.
It arched over him.
It arched, exactly like an arch. Good. So only my barbash with the papa, my timer, why are you telling me that he's chayv? Mishim de koichil. Freitimor, I koichoy, tezel li'el. If you're telling me this is koyach, why didn't the rock keep on going? Exactly. Why did it stop? So isn't that the best teraya that it's not his koyach? If it's his koyach, keep on going up until the moon, until the Mars. Why did it come down? It's the teraya that it's not his koyach. So Kimura, the ilav koyachu teizel etachas. If it's not his koyach, then why didn't it come directly from, in other words, if you're telling me like, Brother Shai said, well, it's the forces of gravity. So why did it arch? Why didn't it come directly down? He threw it up, and now it should come straight down on his own head, on the same spot. Not on the other guy's head. It shouldn't have arched. It should come down. Therefore, says the Gemara, Ela koyach kochushu. It has a thin of koyach kochush. If you look at the top Rashi, look Rashi, Ilav koyachoy teiz letachas. People miyad connect. They were like, it's done. Why did it arch? It should go just straight down on, you know, on where the person was standing. El koyach kochushu, ain't a koyach chazak, el ktsas koyach yesh kan situat, this is a koyach. V'haydele ozeli el, the reason why it didn't continue on going further, mishem shekola koyach chayzik hazrika, because the koyach that he threw into it, that he put into it, it ended. It couldn't go further. V'evin chazeris la'aret, avladayin hoyleches hi, memiktsas koyachai. But it's still not going directly down. The fact that it didn't go directly down shows you that it's not just the force of gravity. It's because of his koyach that he threw
it.
He angled it. Oh, so that angling it that caused the arch to hit the other guy in the head, that was part of his koyach. The koyach that I wanted it to go not straight to Shemayim. I wanted it to come down, but not come down over here. I wanted it to come down over there 20 feet further. And it came down 20 feet further. And unfortunately hit somebody over the head. If it was intentional, it would be Misa, and if it would be unintentional, you'd have a din of going.
The harder he throws it up, the harder it'll fall down unless there's air resistance. So the more koach he puts up, the harder it'll come down.
Okay. Yeah, no, for sure, the more koyach, it'll go further and further. It won't go to 50 feet, it'll go further up.
And that's what's going to cause it to come down with more force.
Exactly.
Come down first, so maybe that's what it means.
That's how they used to shoot arrows.
Right, at a 45-degree angle, right. They just go
shoulders.
Yeah,
it comes down.
They still figure that when they're shooting artillery and everything else, they have these calculations.
Right.
Okay, so we could theoretically finish over here, but we're going to learn another few lines to make up for tomorrow. And it's all related to the same inyan. It's Tan Rabban. Hiku asor b'nei Adam, b'asor makleis. Nebuch, there was a gang that ganged up on a person, and Nebuch, they gave him pech, 10 makleis, one on top of the other, and eventually umes. And Nebuch, the guy died from all of these makleis. Says the Brice, bein b'basach ha'saif, all 10 of them, Nebuch, hitting him over the head at the same time. Bein b'zeach ha'zer, even if it was, each one was mechavid, he says, okay, ya'amoid, you go rishon, you go shiny, you go shlishi, each one after the other. And the Achron Achron, in this case, unfortunately, was not so chaviv. The fine one, Nebuch passed away. So what's the din now? Says the Tanakama, they're all peturin. Why they're all peturin? They killed this guy. So we'll see Mechim in another moment. Why? I agree with you that if it was all together at one time, they're potter. But it's Mzeh Chazeh, Ho Achron is Chayiv, Nishakirev Esmi Sosoi. The one that made the
final blow.
Not only the final blow, but the one that did the something with the straw on the camel's back,
the
right?
The straw that breaks the camel's back.
The straw that broke the camel's back, that was number 10. He was the straw that broke the camel's back. The other 9 didn't break the camel's back. He got sick, but he didn't die. It's that last guy. He is the one, the final blow.
The last guy came and said it broke, so.
Okay.
Very similar.
Good. So what's it then? Then says Rabbi Yehuda Say to the final guy, now what's the basis of the Tanakama? What's the Beit Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seder? They both learn the same Pasuk, but they learned it differently. It says in the pasuk, the ishki yake kol nefesh adam, as the pasuk end off, mois yumas. Now this yake kol nefesh adam means he gave him a deathly blow. So then he's a ritzeach, he gets misa. It says the Gemara, why does it say kiyaka kol nefesh adam, gans nefesh? Ishkiyaka nefesh adam. What's the kol nefesh adam? Is Rabban and Sarvi kol nefesh ad ika kol nefesh? You're only responsible if you did the entire nefesh, if you're on your own. If you did it bishtatfus, betziref, with nine other people, you didn't go and do it on your own. Because the other nine people, he gave deathly blows, and he was never holding by a hair, and now you kill the one. Said ad ika kol nefesh. Since none of them did kol nefesh, they're all potter. You're only chayef if you did it yourself, not if you did a betzir of other people. Kol nefesh, kol du nefesh. The word kol nefesh doesn't mean over here you have to do kuloi nefesh. It means a kol du abyssal nefesh. And since the other nine, they did a successful job in weakening him, the tenth one was the one that took away that kol du nefesh, he is going to be chayef number 10.
Why aren't the others also chayav? Because each of them contributed to a kol dehu. You have 10 kol dehus.
Yeah, but if the first nine would have done it and the 10th not, apparently he would have lived.
The good news is the last guy's coming to Rami, he doesn't have to pay any nezek. The state can sue them for damages.
Exactly right. Omer Rava. Now that we've learned these principles, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yudim B'Seira, we're going to apply it to three more cases. Omer Rava, Hakol Moedim, Tanakama, Rabbi Yudim B'Seira, we both agree. Bahiri Gesat Treifa, Shu Potter. What happens if the person is already a Treifa from before? How is he a Treifa from before? Says Rashi, he has a Nekev in his Veshet, or the Krum HaMoyach, where we're going to learn Mitzvah Masechtis Chulin in the third parak Eile Treifis, we're going to learn that this person is not going to survive, and so therefore it's like a Gavra Ketila Kotal, you're killing a dead person, because he already has, this is no remedy to Nikav HaVeshet or Krum HaMoyech. Maybe today modern science, maybe modern medicine, yeah, but at least in the times of Chazal, this was a goner, and everybody said, go and call the Chevra Kaddisha, it's only a question of time.
Then you're not allowed to kill him.
You're never allowed to kill anybody at any time. From the beginning of Odom Arish until today, you're not allowed to kill him.
You're not
allowed to kill, but you're not allowed to murder.
Yeah, okay. Kill in self-defense.
That's a different story. Everybody agrees you'd be butter. Why? Because Gavrik Tila. Goyis b'dei shemoyim shu chayv. Goyis b'dei shemoyim means that the person is Nebuch on his deathbed because Nebuch is losing his strength. He has some sort of illness, rachmon litzlan. Nothing that was done by Bnei Adam. The Rabbi Yishom decreed, it's his day is here and it's come and it's just a question of time. If you go and kill somebody like that, even though he's on his deathbed, and what do they have today? The mercy killings. You kill the person like that, you're chayv misa. You're not allowed to go and kill him. He's still alive. You're not allowed to kill him. Goyis b'dei adam means what happens if a person is deathly ill because Nebuch, he was hit nine times by those other gangsters, by that gang. So that's why he's a goyis b'dei adam. And now a tenth person comes, or a hundredth person comes, and now he shoots him. What happens now? Mar medami leila treifa. One says, he was a goyis because of all of the human damage that were caused against him, that were the human pain and perpetually got. So it's just like the case of the treifa. In other words, the treifa is also not going to live. It's a gavra ketila kotel. Omar medama leila goyis b'dei shamayim. No, a goyis is a goyis. As long as he's still alive, you go and shoot him, you kill him, you're chayv. So why does each one hold each one? Man, the medama leila treifa, the one says, it's like a treifa, and therefore your potter, my tamal leila medama leila goyis b'dei shamayim. It says, goyis b'dei shamayim, lo yis'abed be maisa. No maisa happened previously. In other words, no b'dei odom situation. It's goyis b'dei shamayim. Hi, is Abba Maisa. Here a Maisa was done. And since a Maisa was done, all you're doing is now you're finishing off the Kol Duhu Nefesh, contributed by Beseder. That's why you would be Chayv. Contributed by Beseder says, even a Nefesh Kol Duhu. The other nine did their the major damage, and now the final person, he's finishing it off. Here he's finishing it off. Why doesn't he say it's like a treifa? Because treifa mechatchi simonim. By the treifa, you see the damage with your own eyes. The simonim are already cut. When he says the simonim are cut, he means like the nikiv haveshet, that's already cut, or the krum hamoyech nebuch. It's clear cut that it's all over. In such a case, That's why you would be potter. It's a gavra ketila katal. In this case, there were no clear signs of imminent death, even though the guy Nebuch is struggling. But there's no mechat chisimanim, and therefore it's not like the treifa case. It's more like the koyzim deshamayim case. Tony Tanaka made Rav Sheshes the Ishki Yaka Kol Nefesh Adam. That's the pasuk that we just brought. Lahavi Amakis Chaveroi the Ain Boy Kedei Lahamis. He gave him a patch, but it was not a fatal, deathly patch. It was a heavy patch, but Ain Boy Kedei Lahamis. And somebody else comes in now and kills him. Shu Chayiv. Then the second guy is Chayiv. Frey Timara, what is Rav Sheshes? Why does this Tana need to say that Rav Sheshes? It's a double pashit. Ain boy kedei lahamis pshita. After all, the first one
is not chayev ripui boshes.
Exactly, gave a nice patch, but it wasn't kedei lahamis. So of course, when the second guy comes and he kills him, he killed a live person, a viable person. So what's it? Pshita, no, forget. You're right. We're going to change the girsa. Not the makas chayev, but ain boy kedei lahamis. Ela yesh boy kedei lahamis. That first patch that he gave him was a deathly blow, but in the masa he didn't die. It was a very heavy duty blow, but he did not die. And the second guy came and he killed him. Shehu chayiv. Why is he chayiv? Like we said, Rabbi Yehuda Meseder said at the top that all you need is kol shehu nefesh, just like we said in the case of the 10. The 9 people gave deathly blows, but he didn't die. The 10th person finished it off. Ishkiyaka kol nefesh. Adam, Rabbi Yehuda Meseder says kol nefesh means kol du nefesh. So here's the same thing. That somebody else gave him a lethal, fatal patch, but the person did not die. It's like the 9 people giving patch. He did the 90%.
Something doesn't add up here. Did he lie in his bed for 24 hours and then get up? Like, what's the circumstances? This is kind of murky. If he gave him a lethal blow and he survived it, then if he got up, then the first guy, of course, is putter. It's a pasuk, right?
What you're talking about is a person who goes and gives a lethal blow to his own eved. The pasuk says, "Achim yoyim
oyemayim yamay liyukam kikaspoyim." Well, it's true for any human life, though, isn't it? I mean,
that halacha only applies specifically to an eved.
Okay.
Here, the halacha is if the person only finished off the terrible blows that had been inflicted prior. How did he do it? There were 9 people, for instance, that gave the deathly blows, but he didn't die. And then the 10th person, he gave that final patch and he died. So says Yudim Seder, kol nefesh, kol du nefesh. So over here, we didn't have 10 people, we had 2 people. But that first person that did the deathly blow did such a good job that 90% of him is already almost dead.
Yeah, he didn't kill him off.
He didn't kill him off. It's the second one that killed him off. So that's the kol du nefesh. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda l'shitasa that holds kol du nefesh, you are chayv. However, if the first person just gave a patch, and then the second person killed him, and that's a double pashit, because the first one didn't do anything except a hezek. Maybe you have to pay him nezek tzar, ripashev, and boshit, but he didn't kill him. But here, then the second case, now that we've amended the brisa, the yesh b'nekrei l'hamis, the chiddush is only contributed by Meseira, is the second person chayv. Because according to the Tanakama of the brisa in the top, he would be potter, because you have to do kol nefesh, not a kol du nefesh. He didn't do kol nefesh, he only did a kol du. V'yato v'ekim Hashem l'keichem, Chayim kulchem hayoim. Mission will continue tomorrow. Amen.